Have you ever found yourself engaged in conversation with a friend, neighbor, or coworker, and have the conversation turn on a dime to spiritual matters? How did you respond? Were you ready to offer an answer to the questions being raised? Or did you shrink back, unsure of how to respond? Parents, have your children ever come home from a church service, youth group, or school with questions about Christianity? Were you able to provide a reasonable answer that was faithful to what the Bible declares? Friends, the opportunity to provide an answer for the Christian faith you claim to hold presents itself every day. Are you prepared to meet the challenge of giving an intellectually satisfying response that not only meets the spiritual need of the question, but delivers a much-needed encouragement to investigate the Christian faith? If you're like the average Christian today, you don't believe you're prepared to answer the questions being raised concerning Jesus Christ and Christianity. Yet the Bible speaks clearly that we are to be ready when the opportunity presents itself to tell people why our hope is in Jesus Christ. Stay tuned for my conversation with apologist and creator and founder of the Poch-State Christian Worldview and Apologetics website, Greg West, next, here on the Soaring Eagle Radio Show.
Remember that your failure to be informed does not make me a wacko.
The time has come, the walrus said. You talk of other things, of shoes and ships and sealing wax and cabbages and kings.
My mind doesn't work that way. I got this real moron thing I do. It's called thinking. And I'm not a very good American because I like to form my own opinions. I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me. And I don't take very seriously the media or the press in this country.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Nine most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Hello, and welcome to Soaring Eagle Radio. Your host is Mike Spaulding. Get ready to be challenged and encouraged as you consider today's news and Mike's commentary from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Mike.
Hi, friends. This is Mike Spaulding, host of the Soaring Eagle Radio Show. Thanks for joining us. You can subscribe to the show on iTunes. And when you do, would you leave a review and a rating, please? That helps us out. Follow us on Twitter at Soaring Eagle Rad. And you can like us on Facebook, where you can discuss this episode and others. And, of course, you can listen to every episode from our website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. My guest tonight is Greg West. He's an apologist, an apologetics teacher, a member of the administrative staff of the Christian Apologetics Alliance, and the Ratio Christi Student Apologetics Alliance Chapter Director at Missouri State University. Greg founded and manages the Poached Egg Christian and Worldview Apologetics Network, a part of the Ratio Christi Student Apologetics Alliance. Welcome to the Soaring Eagle Radio Show, Greg.
Hey, thanks for having me, Mike. I sure appreciate being here.
Well, thank you so much for accepting the invitation. I've been a fan of yours and the Poached Egg website for a long time, and take every opportunity that I can to refer people there. I wonder, Greg, if as we start, if you'd tell our listeners a little bit about yourself, your background, your path to coming to Christ, your faith journey.
Well, I'm glad you asked, and I hope I don't go too long here. It's kind of a long story. Usually, when I'm given about 15 minutes to speak, I usually take 30, so feel free to interrupt me anytime. But I'll try to keep it brief. I like to tell people I was born on early on a Sunday morning, and I didn't make church that day, but the next Sunday I was in church. And growing up in my family, we went to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, and then everything in between that was going on. And I remember being in Vacation Bible School one summer. I was probably 6 or 7. I don't remember exactly how old I was, but I remember sitting in a message, and the speaker gave an invitation, and I just remember recognizing that I, even at that young age, that I was a sinner in need of a Savior, and I responded to an altar call and accepted Christ, or however you want to put it. And I was, I went to church my whole life, raised in a solid Christian home, and I was very active and always active in church. And I was actually even planning on going to Bible college after high school. I ended up going into the Army instead. I did 4 years in the Army. But there were some things that I had some tragedy happen in my life, and just things like that that kind of threw a wrench in the works, because, you know, I was always taught that, you know, God has a wonderful plan for your life, you know, and I thought, well, God has a wonderful plan for my life, then why am I suffering so much?
Yeah.
You know? So that was kind of my first little seed of doubt that mm-hmm. crept in. And
yeah.
then, you know, I got in the service, and I was exposed to a lot of different world views. For the first time, I was meeting Muslims and Mormons and atheists and you know, a lot of other things in between, as well as Christians. You know, I kind of, the seed of doubt and being a young man, you know, just out in the world, you know, I kind of used doubt as an excuse to really kind of start going my own way. And my church attendance became, you know, a little more sporadic, and that's kind of the nature of being in the service anyway.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But really, within I'd say within a year or so after I got out of the service, I pretty much turned my back on Christianity and became a professing agnostic. You know, I just thought, mm-hmm. we can't know what's true. You know,
yeah.
I mean, in the military, I was, you know, we trained to fight against terrorism, you know, and and so, you know, and Muslims, you know, they were blowing themselves up for their faith, you know, with the suicide bombers and
mm-hmm.
stuff. I thought, well, wow, how do I know that they're not right and I'm wrong, you know, or whatever. So,
yeah.
So I just kind of really, you know, used that as an excuse just to kind of go my own way and do my own thing. And I became really rather apathetic about Christianity. And to wrap that up, I spent about almost a decade as an agnostic before worldview issues kind of started really working their way into my mind. And I started wrestling with, you know, human nature and the problem of evil and things like that. And I just, the Holy Spirit just opened my eyes to really, the Christian worldview was the only worldview that had a reasonable explanation for that. And that really got me to thinking more and more about Christianity and its truth. And really, since that was what made the most sense to me, I thought, if this is true, then that's what I want to follow. And I rededicated my life to Christ. And I just had this desire that if this is true, I want to know why it's true. I want to be able to explain to people why I believe it, instead of just, hey, just have faith, you know, just believe. And so I really got into apologetics before I even knew what it was. I did listening to Bible Answer Man, Hank Hanegraaff. I just ran across that on the radio and started listening. I was like, hey, this guy actually, you know, does some critical thinking. You know, I didn't agree with everything he says. I don't agree with pretty much everything anybody says.
Right.
I just really appreciated that. And I don't know if I heard about it on his show or if I ran across it in the bookstore or whatever, but I ran across The Case for Christ by Lee Strobel.
Oh, yeah.
And I read that, and I was just like, holy cow, why didn't someone tell me this stuff before? Because it might have saved me a lot of confusion.
Yeah.
But and that was kind of my introduction to apologetics there, was Lee Strobel's book.
You know, that's pretty typical, Greg, of folks, their testimony that I hear, that are now involved in apologetics. They, they have a lot of serious questions that they're wrestling with. They're trying to find answers, and unfortunately, in most instances, they're not able to come across anybody who can give them a satisfactory answer to these questions. And so, over a course of time, it does impact. Impact their faith, and you're an example of that. So you kind of wandered away, but then you mentioned that you kind of stumbled on both Hank Hanegraaff, and then, although you didn't know it at the time, apologetics materials. What piqued your curiosity, or what led you back in that direction to try and find that there actually was some answers, or was it merely by accident?
No, it wasn't by accident. Really, like I said, I used doubt as an excuse.
Yeah.
We're all faced by temptation, and we all, we just naturally, it's our sin nature to do what we want to do instead of be accountable to a holy God. And so I really just kind of became apathetic towards Christianity. I was never hostile towards it or anything like that.
Yeah.
But it was obvious to me that I knew some Christians that were good people. I knew Christians did good things. My parents were great examples of good Christians.
Yeah.
And so I wasn't antagonistic towards Christianity. I was kind of more of like, well, that works for them. If that works for them, that's great. But it didn't work for me, so I'm going to do something else. And I wish when I was first confronted with doubt that I would have taken the time then to start an investigation. But, but like I said, I'd never been taught a historical or philosophical foundation for the truth claims of Christianity.
Yeah.
All I had was, the Bible stories and Bible's, God said it, we believe it, and that's good enough for us.
Right.
Well, that wasn't good enough for me. But I really, like I said, without even knowing what apologetics was, just kind of had this burning desire to know why I should believe it was true.
Yeah.
And so that's just what started me on my journey right there. And then, like I said, I just had stumbled across, and I'd started reading the Bible. I read it for the first time cover to cover instead of just in bits and pieces.
And
was reading theology and was wanting to listen to good teaching on the radio. And, and like I said, I just stumbled across Bible Answer Man. I had never heard of Hank Hanegraaff or Lee Strobel or Robin Zacharias or anybody like that.
Yeah.
And especially when I read Lee Strobel's book, he does all those interviews with, your William Lane Craig and Robin Zacharias and just really eclectic group of apologists.
Yes.
And it just, of course, after I read that, I wanted to read those guys too, and see what they had. I was like, wow, this guy sounds really good. I want to, that's just how it started. I remember the first time I heard the word apologetics, I was like, what, we got people apologizing for, crusades or whatever, and then I found out what it meant. I was like, okay, well, that's just the language. That's how I got started.
So it just clicked for you then, and it created, or really I should say it satisfied this hunger that you had for a rational explanation that was really the way I describe it, Greg, and you can correct me if this is not the case. I don't want to put words in your mouth. But it is just satisfying to the soul. It brings a sense of peace, and also to your intellect. You finally have a substantive answer that makes sense and is rational in its explanation. Is that what it did for you?
Yeah, absolutely. Instead of just hearing about Bible stories and the stories of Jesus that you hear, instead of just being stories, when you're struck with the reality of the existence of Jesus and who he was, that kind of really makes it a whole new ball game, and it did for me anyways.
Yeah. So you immersed yourself into Christian apologetics and started devouring authors. You mentioned several: William Lane Craig, Rabbi Zacharias, Lee Strobel. Any others that that really helped build your faith in those very early years?
Lee Strobel was integral. The Case for Christ had been out for a while, and mm-hmm. The Case for Faith was also already published. I'm not sure how recent that's been published, but it hadn't been out too long.
Yeah.
And so, of course, I finished The Case for Christ and immediately jumped into the Case for Faith,
yes.
Which covers, like the problem of evil and things like that, as opposed just for the historical Christ and the reliability of the Bible and things like that.
Yeah.
So, that introduced me to even more, and I can't really think of any other one person at that time that really stuck out to me. But I did start hearing Rabbi Zacharias on the radio, and he really spoke to me. I hadn't read any of his books yet, but then sometime later, I heard about the Lee Strobel was coming out with The Case for the Creator, which, of course, I got that one, too.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, those are great. I don't want to say they're simple books, but, I mean, for someone just starting out like I was, they are great just to get that basic foundation of why we should believe, that Christianity is true.
Yeah, I agree with that, Greg. In fact, I'll just say this for our listeners, and especially any Bible study teachers, group leaders, pastors that are listening, the Lee Strobel series of books are very well suited to doing Bible study, small group, large group. I taught through that whole series on Wednesday nights in a fellowship that I pastored many years ago now. And they are great introductory books to apologetics. So agree with you there. So from there then, what led you to this idea of a website focused on apologetics?
Well, I had just discovered that people were doing apologetics on the internet. I'd run across, I think one of the first ones I discovered was Apologetics 315, which had just tons of audio and video, debates, interviews, and all kinds of stuff.
Yes.
I was like, wow, this is just really cool.
It's like a gold mine.
and then I ran across others. I ran across J1 Wallace at peacebehaving.com at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And I started looking at his stuff, and there's a Bill Pratt has Tough Questions Answered. I think it's .org, I'm
mm-hmm.
pretty sure.
Mm-hmm.
But those three, I was like, wow, there's people out there, really trying to, answer the toughest questions. And so I realized that this was helping, not just the books I was reading, but the additional online study I was doing and reading various articles here and there, and I was really starting to be bold in my witness, and I was like, not that I was smarter or knew everything, but just that I wasn't afraid of questions. It's like, that's one thing that I recommend apologetics for, is because it gives you, helps you be more confident when sharing your faith.
Yes.
And so I'd actually ended up in my first little kind of conversation with a hardcore skeptic. One thing I found, that most of my friends that knew me that weren't believers, but they were really pretty open to discussing these things.
That's good.
Kind of open to what I had to share, but I ran across my first hardcore skeptic, who actually happened to be the wife of a good friend of mine, and she said that she was a Christian until she saw the movie Zeitgeist, and she totally became one of these new atheist types, anti-Christian, anti-religion, very critical of it. And so I tried to watch Zeitgeist. I didn't get too far into it because I was like, wow, really? This destroyed her faith, because this is easily answered, you know. And so, so we kind of entered into a dialogue, and I naively thought that all I had to do was just show her how she was wrong, and she would come around. And boy, how wrong I was, because she's still atheist to this day, sad to say. But she came up with objections that hadn't even occurred to me, as only the new atheist type can.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I was, you know, using various websites to help me answer these questions, and I thought, you know, it'd be really handy to have all this stuff in one place.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that just kind of, that's where the seed came from, and I'd had a little experience in website design and stuff, but back in the old days. So I kind of thought, I'll just start I'll get one of these blog things that everybody's doing nowadays, and maybe, you know, having this stuff in one place, maybe I can help point people to find these resources that I found.
Yeah.
That's what I started doing, and it just kind of clicked with people, and just kind of started taking off from there.
Yeah, yeah. This might be a good place, Greg, to tell our listeners the web address of the Poached Egg.
Well, that's www. Did I get the right amount of W's in there? dot thepoachedegg.net. I think you can go .org. We'll take you there too. That's where you can find it.
Yep. Yep. So you can listen to our conversation here on Apologetics with Greg West, and you can peruse the Poached Egg site at the same time, and you'll see everything we're talking about is spot on. It's as I've said already, I visit there often, and I refer people to it all the time, especially folks that are just getting started in trying to grasp apologetics and the need for it, the importance of it, and yet they're looking for some tools. How do I even get started? There is a myriad of resources there on the Poached Egg. So one of the first questions, and I know you've probably answered this a million times, how in the world did you settle on the name the Poached Egg, and where did that come from?
Well, yeah, I do get that asked that all the time, and I enjoy answering it. Well, when I decided to start the website, I had no idea what I was going to call it. And I don't know if any of your listeners out there have tried searching for a domain name that's fitting for what they're doing. It's very difficult, because anything that you think you come up with that is really cool that nobody else has, well, I guarantee you somebody else is already
going
to
have it. Yep.
You know, and plus I knew that not everybody knew what apologetics was. So I thought, well, let's just not even use apologetics in the name. Let's just find something totally different, something that's not being used. And actually, thepoachedegg.com, I think, was taken. But I had just finished reading Mere Christianity by Theo Tsurur, which I've read years before. But there's a famous quote in there that a lot of people don't even know it's from Mere Christianity. But it's from Lewis's famous, what's come to be known as the trilemma argument, where, and I'm going to paraphrase the quote, but C.S. Lewis said that either Jesus was who he claimed to be, or he was a liar or a lunatic on the level of someone that thinks they're a poached egg.
Yes.
And, you know, that's something that only a Brit would say.
but
that quote just kind of stuck with me. And, of course, the focus of apologetics should always be is who is Christ, who is Jesus, what are we going to do, you know, who are we going to say that he is. You know, So I thought, well, I'll just call it the Poached Egg, and that will allude to that. And, of course, some people get it, you know, people that are familiar with that. And, of course, some people don't. But whether they do or not, it's kind of a name that sticks in your head.
Yes.
You know, that doesn't go away. And so it's just worked. And I like explaining that, and it's a great book and a great quote. And, you know, we could do apologetics all day on, various issues, but if Jesus wasn't who he said he was, then all the other arguments are just moot, because,
yes,
you You know, if Jesus wasn't who he said he was and didn't rise from the dead, then Christianity's false. It doesn't matter.
That's right.
You know, any other arguments really have no weight.
Yeah, that's right. Well, it is a catchy name, and it's let me say it, that is a brilliant name because it does stick in your mind. There's you're just not going to forget that, the poached egg. So, how long have you been managing the poached egg site and providing resources to believers? And really, it's designed to appeal to seekers too, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely, and we do get our we do get seekers. I get questions from seekers. We get a lot of hardcore skeptics. You know, your trolls and your critics, we get just about everybody.
Yeah, and so it's. Am I right in saying you're approaching 6 years now?
Just went over five. We started in June of 2010, so we just did our fifth anniversary there. Just in June, a couple months ago.
I bet that's gone fast, hasn't it?
Oh yeah. It seems like yesterday. It seems like yesterday. It's been at the same time. It seems like I've been doing it forever. So
yeah. What's one of the most edifying things for you personally, Greg, about doing the Poached Egg website?
The most edifying for me, Mike, is and in fact, I hadn't been doing it long when I got an email or a Facebook message or something from somebody who said, you know, I was really at a point, and it was a young person, and they said I was really at the point where I was really struggling with my faith, and I just stumbled across this, and they said, thank you for having this, because now I have resources to answer some of the questions that I've been struggling with, and I get that similar thing quite often, and that's the most edifying thing for me.
Yeah, I can imagine that is helping believers who are perhaps a little bit discouraged or struggling to find an answer. They're sharing with friends and they're needing a rational, reasonable response that's going to resonate with them. Yeah, it's a great website. So, the resources that you post there, how do you come across all those? Because it seems like that would be a full-time job.
Well, it is a full-time job, and when I first started out, this just goes to show you how far we're coming. When I first started out, it was difficult for me to find two or three things a day to post.
Mm-hmm.
And because there just weren't that many resources. But people are getting on board with apologetics, and they're waking up to the need for it.
Yes.
Which has always been there. It's not just today. I mean,
Right. Apologetics
has been around since Moses.
Right.
In one form or another.
Yeah.
But today there is just a wealth of resources. There's a lot of, you know, you've got your tent maker apologists, you've got your homeschoolers, you know, the mom that wants to educate her kids who's started blogging and how she's teaching her kids apologetics, or, and people like Jane Warner Wallace and Stand to Reason, and, you know, it's just, there's just a wealth of stuff out there, and there's actually more now that I would like to put on that I can't, because I'd just be, one, working all the time, and two, just overwhelming people, which sometimes we do already, you know, with how much we post. So, actually, I kind of have a couple of Twitter feeds and a couple of different news feeds that I get on, and really it's just really a helter-skelter way of doing it, about just go to these daily and just kind of whatever jumps out at me is what gets on there.
Yeah. Well, that sounds very familiar to how I gather resources too, Greg, so that makes me feel better because I do the same thing, and just kind of look, and really sometimes it's a daisy chain. I'll look at something, that leads me to something else, and then I'm three or four links beyond that, and I find something. So you mentioned Twitter feeds. You want to share those with our listeners? Where can they follow you on Twitter?
We're at the Poached Egg on Twitter.
At the Poached Egg on Twitter. So go follow Greg there. Any other Twitter feeds?
Well, actually, we have several Facebook pages. Of course, the Poached Egg fan page is the main one.
Okay.
We've got links to them all on any page you go to. You can find all our... There's so much stuff out there. I've actually had to do different pages. I'm adamantly pro-life, yeah. And so we have a pro-life Facebook fan page where we don't just share articles, you know, about what's going on with the pro-life movement and the abortion industry, but we also post pro-life apologetics on there too. So,
yes.
And we have a Facebook page for apologetics and conferences and events. We have one for our Kindle deals. Browse through the what's on sale at Amazon for. Mm-hmm. Like right now, Robin Holden has a huge catalog of great apologetics books that are like $2.99.
Yeah.
And so we have another page for that. So you can just go to our website and follow our various different Twitter pages and Facebook pages, and just probably more than most people can handle, actually.
with all those resources, I don't imagine it's easy to decide what to post.
No, it's not. Sometimes it's a struggle, you know.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'll have one going, and I'll be like, I don't know if this is the right fit or not, but
right.
But I just keep at it and pray for guidance, and I'm sure I've made a mistake. And in fact, one time I posted this thing about not the reliability of the Bible, and it was sounding really good, but then I got toward the end, I realized it was from the Mormons. Well, that's probably not good. You know,
yeah.
I got to be careful and do a lot of reading. So,
yeah. That happens to everybody once in a while, Greg. I've had to retract a post or two myself because I didn't read it all the way to the end. And so, I have experienced that. So you're also part of the Ratio Christi Network, and that's something that I'm personally familiar with and appreciate. Would you tell our listeners what Ratio Christi is?
And I'm glad you brought that up, Mike, because I was going to if you didn't.
Okay.
Ratio Christi is a student campus ministry. We're not out there to compete with other ministries. We kind of want to complement what other ministries do on campus.
Yeah.
So what Ratio Christi does is they form apologetics clubs officially recognized on campus, on college campuses worldwide. Actually, we have clubs starting in the Philippines, in South Africa, in the UK, and I think we're on about 160 campuses right now, which is growing incredibly.
It's growing,
Just when I hooked up with them.
Yeah.
And I was originally recruited by them to be a chapter director.
Okay.
And the Poached Egg was just kind of taken off at that time. I was just really busy with that, and I thought I don't think I would be effective at that and be able to do what I'm doing effectively. But they decided to adopt me into their family, and I eventually invited me onto the staff there. So I'm very privileged to be a part of that. And one reason we partnered is because they don't just want to be just a campus ministry. Actually, we're getting into local churches and high school. We've got a college prep program that we're launching.
Yep.
And so it's not just on the college campus, but they want to be an organization like I am as an individual that wants to point people to and provide good apologetics resources. So yes. I think we're a good fit.
Yeah. And I believe you are too. And of course, I have the blessing and bonus of being close to a mutual friend of ours, Tom Gilson.
Me and Tom have become good friends.
Yeah. Tom lives about an hour and a half at the most from me. So we hook up once or twice a year and discuss things and encourage one another. So
that's about how often I get to see him too. But of course, I whenever we have our staff is kind of scattered all around the country. So
yes.
We have our meetings or whatever. It's online, so I see. I get FaceTime on video, but I only actually get to see my various colleagues a couple of times a year. So.
Yeah. Well, when you're spread out all over the country, that's one of the things that happens. I'm curious, Greg, with a website that is, I don't remember where I saw it, but I'm going to go out on a limb and say that. That the poached egg is in the top five most visited Christian apologetic website. Am I accurate in that?
Yes and no. We have ranked in the top of five before. And of course, that kind of depends on what you consider apologetics, or just apologetics related.
Mm-hmm.
And this, of course, what you're referring to is by what's called the Alexa ratings.
Mm-hmm.
Which is actually a website that's what they do is they rank traffic, your worldwide traffic, your U.S. traffic. But that kind of varies, from day to day,
sure.
Week to week, month to month. I might be in the top five one day and be maybe in the top 15 or 20 another day, but Alexa's kind of like the Nielsen rating, the TV for the internet.
Yeah.
But I would say we pretty much consistently rank among reasonable faith and standard reason and reasons to believe. We fall in right where those guys as traffic are. And of course, I always tell people that having a popular apologetics website is kind of like having a popular website about playing the kazoo. not everybody's looking up how to play the kazoo. So just because I say we're a popular, most visited apologetics website, that doesn't mean that millions of people are coming. But we are reaching about 3,000 people a day are visiting.
Yeah.
That's about the average right now.
Yeah. Well, with that kind of traffic, I'm curious as to what kind of feedback you might get on the poached egg. Well, let's just say from unbelievers, first of all. What kind of feedback are you hearing? Are you hearing, folks that are seriously seeking, or are they just there to tell you you're crazy?
Well, we get a lot of people just there to tell us we're crazy, mostly on Twitter. A lot of times when people that tag me on Twitter are just the new atheist types, and they can be very vitriolic. I mean, you have to have a thick skin to do what I do.
Yeah.
And they really don't offer any counter arguments or arguments at all. They just say, well, that's dumb, or you're stupid, or believe in Santa Claus or fairy tale or whatever.
Yeah.
But we do get some genuine seekers, and I try to answer this. I give people... both teachers and believers asking these specific questions, and because of the huge volume of this type of stuff that I get, I can't answer everybody.
Right.
Usually, anything you're asking, they can find on the website.
Yeah.
Everything's by topic, and of course, it's real general. Sometimes it's not real specific.
Yeah.
But I'd say the best way to get the answers to, if you have a specific question, is just follow us. Check the Facebook page or check the blog on the website daily, and sooner or later you're going to find the answer to your specific question.
Yeah.
Of course, you can search the website itself. But one thing that encouraged me one day is I did have one of those critical atheist types, just saying you're dumb or stupid or whatever.
Yeah.
And commenting on the blog itself, and a guy responded to one of his observations, and he said, "You know," he said, "I'm an agnostic." He said, "But I come here because there's good information here, and they have about the best arguments for Christianity here that I've found." He said, "You need not dismiss these arguments so easily, because they're not so easily dismissible. And I found that encouraging, you know, that an agnostic was defending, you know, what we do.
So
that was real encouraging. And of course, the most heartbreaking thing I get is I get a lot of email from parents who have like older teen children or young adult children.
Yeah.
And they're asking me how can I help them bring their kids back to faith because they turn their back on the faith like I did as a young person.
Yeah.
And you know, we need to start at a young age, you know. And you know, of course the best arguments in the world aren't gonna convince someone if they're not open. But and I would say the best thing to do is that you do first for anybody is to pray for them.
But
I just say educate yourself and ask questions of why they believe what they believe. Not just telling them why we believe what we believe.
Yeah, I think that's a good strategy. Engage them in conversation, ask them questions about their beliefs and how they arrived at those conclusions. And I think through conversation, you can help people to see that Christianity really does offer the best explanation for life as it is. So how do you answer Christians? And I'm sure that you've come across this. I've seen it more in the last month than I have in the last couple of years. And I don't know why that is. Maybe it's just skewed, but I've come across a couple of people, and I've had conversations with them that say that, well, we don't need to do apologetics. Well, how do you answer believers who say we don't need apologetics?
Well, first I would tell them that they're not thinking biblically, because apologetics is a biblical mandate, and you know, of course, we always use 1 Peter 3:15, which is kind of our banner for apologetics, and you know, always be ready to have an answer for anyone who asks about the hope that is within you. But it's just not that one verse. It's a whole biblical case, and you know, I kind of mentioned before that apologetics goes back to Moses, you know, and when he was before Pharaoh, and he says before the burning bush, Moses said, "Well, what if they don't believe me?" He says, "Well, here, do the staff, show them these miracles." You know, and Elijah, you know, with the fire from heaven, you know, on the altar against the prophets of Baal.
Yes.
But then getting into the New Testament, we see Jesus using apologetics, Paul especially, but all the New Testament writers preach and write apologetically.
Yes.
And so the biblical case for apologetics is just overwhelming. So first I would show them the scriptures, and a lot of people are writing about this too. Secondly, I would show them that they probably have a complete misunderstanding of what it means to have faith. A lot of times we mistake faith for belief, which, yes, belief is an aspect of faith, but faith is trust in what we already believe to be true. The Bible itself says you can't have faith unless you believe in that God and have belief in faith. I would say, you know, people think, oh, we're just supposed to believe harder, you know, like it's wishing for that you're going to get the thing you want for Christmas or something, but that's a complete misconception of faith. So those are the two things I would tell them: the biblical case for apologetics, and then make sure they have a proper understanding of what the biblical meaning of faith is.
Yeah. I think one of the things, too, Greg, that folks are waking up to today, at least I pray that they're waking up. I talk to people about this all the time. especially pastors, other ministry leaders, staff members in churches, is I try to emphasize the importance of apologetics to evangelism and to discipleship. And sometimes that's a surprise to people when we link those two things, those two efforts, ministries of the church, evangelism and discipleship, to apologetics. But apologetics really is integral to those two mandates to go out and share and then to make disciples, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I don't think they can be done at all, or at the very least, very effectively without apologetics. Everybody is an apologist, whether they know it or not, every Christian, because how many times have you walked up to somebody, and I'm not saying it's impossible, but what are the odds of you walking up to a friend or a family member and say, you're a sinner in need of a Savior, Jesus died for you, you need to ask Him forgiveness your sins and place your trust in Christ so that you can have eternal life and live eternally have eternal fellowship with God and the saints. Mm-hmm. You know, how many times will you go, hey, that sounds pretty good, sign me up, how do I do that? That's rare that's going to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, the first thing they're going to ask you to do is, like, you know, they're going to ask why they're a sinner. You know, they might mm-hmm. say, well, I'm a good person. You know, in other words, the first second you start explaining the why, you're doing apologetics. Mm-hmm. So the question mm-hmm. is, are we going to do it poorly or are we going to do it well? And it's the same thing with discipleship. You know, it's like, we got to, you know, I mean, pizza is great. I love pizza, but let's do pizza and apologetics. You know, or just apologize. You know, if we're just doing pizza or bowling or whatever, we're missing the mark, because that is not discipleship. Because I can tell you, Mike, I was an enthusiastic Christian as any young person ever was, and I walked away from my faith. Yeah. And, you know, a lot of us come back, but most don't.
Yeah, yeah. I just imagine at least one of our listeners, Greg, is going to go start a small group apologetic study, and they're going to steal that name. You gave it to him, Pizza and Apologetics. That is a catchy name.
I hope so. And hey, if you're in my neighborhood, invite me, and I'll come and see.
There you go. Yeah. Well, Greg, if our listeners are interested in starting to study apologetics for themselves, where would you recommend that they start?
Well, I'm not meaning to toot my own horn, but really, the poached egg is a great place to start.
I agree.
A lot of people say, you know, I've had people say, you post too much, so I'm just not going to follow you anymore. You know, I'm like, well, that's dumb. Nobody thinks you got to read everything.
Right.
You know, we post a lot of different things from a lot of different people. I mean, we've got William Lane Craig, mm-hmm. you know, but we've also got the student or seminary student or the high school teacher, the mom.
Yes.
So you're going to find something that's going to click with you. And I don't just want you to just follow us. I want you to find some of those resources that we're pointing to, and find a couple that click with you and follow them. So really, just if a person was to read one or two articles on the poached egg a day, within a year they would start. They would have a good start on a solid foundation.
Yes.
And being able to use apologetics. But besides that, our articles are short and mostly just accessible to a general audience.
Yeah.
But we also want to encourage people to dig deeper, and so that's why you got to get into the Word.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible is the first place to start for apologetics, really.
Yes.
When it comes down to it, but we also want you to dig deeper and to not just apologetics, but theology, philosophy. It all ties in together.
It does.
And going back to books, Lee Strobel is a great place to start. Start for those the Case for series book. I think there's four of them now. I think the Case for Grace was his latest one.
Yeah.
And J. Warner Wallace, former atheist, cold case homicide detective. I mean, he's been on all these Nightline and Dateline, and you know, they all know him because he's been on those shows so many times when they do those investigative reports or whatever. But he just came out with a second book. His first one is Cold Case Christianity. The one that just came out was is called God's Crime Scene, which is the first one covers the liability of the gospel. This one covers the existence of God, and he's real accessible.
Yes,
and that's what I like about those two guys. They just put it in language that layman can understand.
Yeah,
and then don't just keep it simple. You know, start reading above your head. You know, I mean, just because, you know, sometimes you might have to struggle with something, but I always try to read above my head, because really, if you just are constantly reading on your level, you're not going to learn anything except on your level.
Yeah.
So, you know, advance, and the wealth of resources we have today is just mind-blowing.
Yeah, yeah. And that's very good advice, Greg. I appreciate you saying that, to read above your level. And I'll give you an example of that in my own life. Wasn't 5-6 years after I was saved, the Lord was calling me into a teaching and what eventually became a preaching, pastoring ministry. But in preparation for that, I had a keen interest in philosophy and theology. And so one of the first books that I picked up, had never heard about this man before. His name is Francis Schaeffer, and I picked up his trilogy, and started reading. And I've got to tell you that probably 75% of what he wrote was over my head. I could not could, but I stuck with it, and I've went through his books now, Schaeffer's books, probably 4 times. And I refer to them often, and so I would encourage our listeners to take Greg's advice and to do that. Don't settle on where you're at. You'll get comfortable, and then you'll think you have it all figured out, and boy, you'd be wrong there. So stretch your mind. Do it intentionally. Greg, you mentioned the Ratio Christi College Prep course. Is that by any chance available to the public? Can people buy that for their own personal use, maybe with their students?
Actually, it's not a set curriculum yet. It's still in development.
Okay.
But what it is we will have people that represent Ratio Christi that will actually come to your church and school and help you learn how to teach apologetics yourself.
Perfect. Perfect. Okay. So there'll be information coming out on that when that's available then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. And that's headed up by my good friend Michael Sherrard,
who
is also a pastor.
Yep.
And he has a book called, that was just re-released in a second edition called, Relational Apologetics. And I tell you, that's the best time.
Yes.
You know, it's one thing to do debates on the internet or whatever, and sometimes it's good to do those for other people to read. But really, the best way to do apologetics is in a one-on-one relationship.
Yes. Yeah. I agree with that. With that, Greg. So, any new projects you're working on you want to share?
Well, nothing specific, other than I'm a little being the only guy that's responsible for running the poached egg. It's just kind of getting so big that it's a little overwhelming for me. And there's a lot of things that my to-do list is getting longer than things that I can possibly do. So we're just trying. I usually mean me. Ratio Christi is a team. I'm on the what's called the communications team. And that involves the poached egg. So we brainstorm on how we can expand our reach and how we can just constantly make things better And of course, there's always financial obstacles. People can donate to us through Ratio Christi. And sadly, sometimes it just all comes down to the money. But I do this for, I started out doing this for free. It morphed into an occupation, which I'm so thankful for. But if I got to go back to doing it for free, I'd still do it.
Yeah.
Time allowed. So,
yeah.
So we're not ever going away. And I've had more opportunities for teaching and for speaking. You might see me I usually end up at 2 or 3 apologetics conferences a year. And that's another way that people can learn apologetics one day. Go to an apologetics conference.
Yes.
They're popping up everywhere. You know, there's ones that are specific to like maybe science, one specifically aimed at youth and things like that. So, and they're popping up all over the place. So, just keep an ear and an eye open to an apologetics conference coming to your area and go to that. And you'll see, when you go to apologetics, you see 1,000 people in an apologetics conference. That's pretty exciting.
Yes, you're absolutely right. It certainly is. So you can connect with Greg at thepoachedegg.net. Or on Twitter at the Poached Egg, and several Facebook pages that Greg mentioned. You can find those and interact with him there. Greg, I appreciate you being on the Soaring Eagle Radio Show and talking about my favorite subject, apologetics. This has been a lot of fun for me personally, so thank you very much.
Well, thank you for having me, Mike. I sincerely appreciate it, brother.
Amen. Soaring Eagle Radio is a production of Transforming Word Ministries and is released under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes, follow us on Facebook where you can discuss this episode, and follow Soaring Eagle Radio on Twitter at Soaring Eagle Rad, and listen to every episode from our website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. The opening audio montage collection was created by Micah 68 Productions. Visit them on the internet at www.mika68.com for more information. Friends, remember the Apostle Paul's admonition to the believers meeting in Rome. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I'm your host, Mike Spaulding. Thank you for joining us today for this edition of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Thanks for tuning in today to the Soaring Eagle Radio program. For more information about the show, write us at Soaring Eagle Radio, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45801. You may also contact Mike directly by email at the following address, pastormike@woh.rr.com. God bless you today as you seek him.